Good evening. It's good to be here with you all this evening. I was thinking about as we were singing the songs, I surrender all. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty convicted after singing that. Even to have a desire to be surrendered, you know, to surrender. How many of us really have that desire in our heart this evening? But then I'm glad that, for the special. Though I'm not worthy, he is worthy. Though I fail miserably, he is worthy. So thankful for that this evening. But appreciate the invitation to be here and all that the efforts that you put forth to have the conference each year, and that's a blessing to us. And we want to get into the thought this evening, and the theme idea of the conference being that we see Jesus performing miracles during his earthly ministry. And I guess maybe it's a good place for me to be at the start, because I'm going to kind of look at a kind of a broad idea from a couple different miracles, a couple different thoughts. But John chapter 21 and verse 25. We'll start there this evening. And John 21 and verse 25 says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. And let's look once again to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again this evening for your Son. We thank you for Jesus. And Father, we come this evening not only desiring to see him, but Father, we need to see him. And Father, we pray that you would reveal him through the word, that we might see him tonight, that we might be blessed, Father, not only to hear about the miracles of Jesus, but Father, that we might personally experience him in our own lives. Father, that that he might be lifted up, that he might be glorified this evening as we consider the things that he has done for us in our lives. And Father, just pray that you would take your word and Father, by your Spirit, that you would captivate our attention this evening, that you would that you'd cause us to be able to hear from you, that you'd bless us with your presence. And Father, just desire that you would meet with us and speak to every heart and give me the things that I need. And we ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought that I have for you this evening is the quiet miracles of Jesus. The quiet miracles of Jesus. You know what? A lot of times when we think about miracles, we think about something very obvious, something very it just there it is in the midst of everyday life. It just everything stops and there it is. And there's this miracle. There's this out of the ordinary thing. There's this intervention of God that is just not usual. It's not normal. It's different than everything else in life. And we consider, well, there's a miracle. There are those, and no doubt we're going to look at, hear about those things throughout the conference, and we're going to look at a couple specific miracles. But as I was considering these thoughts, the idea of the quiet miracles of Jesus, the things that aren't written, the things that Jesus quietly does in all of our lives, that each and every day he is working in our lives, that each and every day he is doing things that are miraculous all around us, and how that we ought to see him in those, how that we ought to recognize him in those, and the blessings of Jesus himself working in your life. I mean, in the miracles that are going on around us. And so we want to think about that a little bit, the quiet miracles of Jesus. Again, many of the miracles of Jesus were for the public manifestation of the glory of God in the gospel. But there are also very many others that were quiet, unrecorded, and were only known to a privileged few. These quiet miracles are among the many other things which Jesus did, and he still does daily in the lives of his people. And if they would have been written, the world long ago would have overflowed with the number of the books that could have been written. So we want to just consider these thoughts a little bit tonight. But first of all, we want to consider the idea, and this applies obviously to any miracle, but John chapter 9, let's look there for a minute. John chapter 9, and verses 1 through 7. Again, you know, I suppose that the Lord has drawn me to this particular one. There's two particular thoughts that we're going to look at, two different miracles. But this one here in John 9 and verses 1 through 7, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing." And the particular thing that I want to bring out of those verses is that verse 3 there. He says, "Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And so this is the first thing that I want to consider about miracles in general is that the need itself. Here was this one born blind. So here's the need. This person needs something. He needs a miracle, and the miracle itself, that which Jesus did. These are for the glory of God. That is the purpose of every miracle. It is to manifest the works of God. It is that we literally see Jesus. That is what it's all about. It isn't about the need, and it isn't about the miracle itself. It's about Jesus himself. You see? And so we are to see Jesus in the miracle. And so that is what it is, to manifest, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And so, you know, people are prone to focus too much on the need and too much on the miracle itself, rather than seeing that the purpose of both the need and the miracle are to reveal more of God himself to us. I mean, that is the purpose, that we see more of God, that we understand more of God, that God is revealed more to us. You know, so many today are way off. You know, they're way off on seeking, they want something spectacular. They want to feel a certain way, and they're seeking that in their religion. And they're missing the point. You know, about all the feelings and all the things that they're seeking after, that they're missing the point that is to see Jesus. It is to understand more of him through the things he does in our lives. But that is the point, that we see Jesus. What a sad thing it would be if we see the need but we see the miracle but we miss Jesus in it. How many experience the workings of God in their lives all around them daily and miss the point? You know, they miss the fact that it is God working. They miss the fact that it is Jesus doing those things all around them. And so we need to be careful not to miss the point. But in miracles, we see Jesus. And this is the point. We experience the nearness of his person and power intervening in our lives in an extraordinary way. I mean that is what we need to be careful not to miss. In miracles, we learn more about God, and the more that we learn, the more that we love him. I mean, that's why God talks about that in John 4. There, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, "They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth." I mean, that is the capacity in which that we are able to worship God is the spirit and truth. You cannot worship God except you worship him in truth. And so the more that you know about God, the more that you can truthfully worship him. The more that you are actually worshiping God and not worshiping an imagination. And so through the miracle, through the things that he does in our lives, we're learning something more about him. We can appreciate him more. We can enjoy him more. We can worship him more. You see? And so we learn more about him, and that's the point. More of Jesus is revealed to us, and so there we can worship him more, love him more for who he is. So we need to be careful that we don't get so focused on the miracle itself that we miss seeing Jesus in the miracle. In Psalm 19:1 and in Isaiah 6, it speaks of the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth is full of his glory. And miracles are very intense manifestations of the workings of God. But But the glory is to God. The glory is God. You know, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, so that's the point. It is that we see God and that he receives the glory. And that he is revealed more and more by that miracle, and that we recognize him in it. So, that being the first, the general first thought of all miracles. But the next thing I want to look at is that quiet miracles are special privileges to see. Not everybody gets to see those things. Sometimes God will do something very special for you in your life. And it goes unwritten and it goes unnoticed by the world, but it was a special privilege for you, to be able to see and to learn more about God. And so quiet miracles are a special privilege to see. Not everyone, not even very many, really could see Jesus in the public miracles. And even fewer were privileged to see and experience one of Jesus's quiet miracles. And John chapter 2, let's look there a minute. John 2 and verses 1 through 11 there. We see the first miracle of that we have recorded in the scriptures for us here of Jesus. But John 2 and verses 1 through 11 says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." It wasn't that time that he be revealed in his earthly ministry. It wasn't just that timing just yet. But verse 5, "His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." And notice there are different things there, but notice what I want to notice about this is the fact that that not everybody saw it. That not everybody recognized it. Though it took place, it was one of those quiet miracles. It was one of those things that the disciples were privileged and blessed by. And even those servants that got to serve, they knew. They knew. And so those few knew, but the ruler of the feast, he didn't know. He knew not. He didn't know where it came from. He just knew that here it was. And so many times those quiet miracles that the Lord does in your life are like that. You get to see it and you get to experience it. And there are people all around you that, I mean, they're there. I mean, they're all around you, but they miss it. They don't even see it. They don't, not only do they not, see it as a miracle, but they miss the working of God in it. They miss that, they miss seeing Jesus in the miracle. So, but it's a great privilege. It's a privilege. Amen. And you consider all of the miracles, all the miraculous things sitting in this room here this evening. I mean, the fact that you and I that are saved. I mean, that is a miracle above miracles. The fact that now above and beyond that he opened your understanding to the truth concerning his church and all of those blessings that come with that. More and more and more spiritual revelation, interventions of God. That was God and the Spirit of God working in your life in a miraculous way. You didn't come up with that on your own. That didn't happen by the natural order of things. That was an intervention of God in each of our lives, you see. I mean, just a miracle upon miracle. You know, if we consider all the things that God has done in our lives, but those things are quiet. They are unrecorded many times, and they go unsaid. But to us, they are a special privilege that we get to enjoy and we are blessed by. But again, we see Jesus. We are privileged to be able to see him. to recognize him in the things of life, you know, in all that he does, and in special times and miracles. But not very many people do. But we need to consider our great privilege to have been allowed to see Jesus performing those quiet miracles in our own lives. And then the last thought that I want to look at, which is more, I guess, focused on that idea of the quiet miracles, is, you know, there are many. There are many quiet miracles, and they are unwritten, they are unrecorded, but if they would have been recorded, the books would have filled up the world long ago. And so each one of us could write books. We could write volumes of the things that Jesus has done in our lives, the miracles, the miraculous things. Think about before the Lord saved you. You know, if you went very long in your adult life without being saved, all the miracles, the things He preserved you from, the interventions in your life, the things that he kept you from. I mean, miraculous things that He did all along through our lives. And so, but there are many, many quiet things that the Lord has done. But the majority of the miracles that we witness today are unwritten and quietly performed by God every day all around us. Many we take for granted as natural, you know, just the natural order of things. Yet every day, God quietly and faithfully upholds all things by the word of His power. And every day He gives life and being to all of His creatures. You think about that, you know, think about the go back to the very beginning. You know, God simply spoke to nothing. There's an intervention of God. I mean, there is a miraculous working of God, a quiet miracle. God spoke, and existence came into being. I mean, the miraculous things that He does, but the very life and being and existence, the sustenance of life that we continue. You know, that doesn't just happen. You know, that is God intervening. That is God upholding. That is God sustaining. I mean, that is a miraculous working of God. Yet we think we don't consider that a miracle. Yet it is. Every day that you and I walk upon this earth, every day that the earth continues to spin, every day that the universe is ordered and everything that takes place in God's creation, that's miraculous. That's the power of God holding that up. And yet we don't consider so much that as a miracle or an intervention of God, but it is. I mean, that is God upholding it all. You know, I want to read a scripture concerning that a little bit, but Hebrews 1, this is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible to me, is Hebrews chapter 1 here, and verses 1 through 3. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. You see, Jesus not only is the spoken word of God by which all creation sprang forth, He upholds it. He is the sustainer of all of those things. And He is sustaining it by the word of His power. Notice, though, when He had by Himself purged our sins, even as He was on the cross purging our sins, He did not let it all down. He did not let it all fall. He was upholding all things by the word of His power. You see, that's an amazing verse to me. Even as he was purging our sins, He was upholding all things by the word of His power. But what an amazing thought. But we think about that. That's every day. That's every day. He sustains it. I mean, what miraculous workings are those? What an intervention of God in those things. And above that, He also intervenes quietly in each of our lives, daily delivering us from countless spiritual and physical evils. I mean, every day, who knows the things that He delivers us from? Who knows the way He has intervened every day? I mean, we don't just make it through every day by chance. It is by the intervention of God that we make it through every day. Consider if God just stepped back. If God just stepped back and he just let down that sustaining grace, He just let down that, and He just let us go, we would fall. It would all fall. It would all end. You know, the devil would have his way, and that the spiritual evils would have their way with us. I mean, and it would just be over. But he intervenes and he sustains and he upholds miraculously, daily, quietly, faithfully. Goes and think about that. Just goes unwritten, goes unsaid, you know, for the most part. Goes unnoticed, goes unappreciated. How often do we unappreciate all that God does for us? How often do we just, we don't consider what he's doing. And we just take it for granted. Oh yeah, it's just another day. The sun just rose today and and I had life and breath and I had, you know, and enjoyed all the blessings of life today. And then the sun went down today and, you know, it's just another day. No, that was God involved in every way. Working miraculously, sustaining, upholding, blessing. I mean, that's God. Quietly, faithfully, quiet miracles, working those things in our lives. And we need to not miss those things. We need to not go without thanking God and being appreciative of all that he does in our lives. But and then above that which we consider normal, above that which we consider ordinary, now and then he intervenes in a way that is above that which is we consider normal. Above that in which it's something that we recognize as extraordinary. And these are the things that most often we call miracles. And he intervenes in that way, but he intervenes and he allows us to see, to really see him working in an extraordinary way in our lives. These are what most consider miracles. Yet even in these obvious interventions of God, only a very few are blessed to really see the working of God, to see Jesus performing a miracle in their life. Many, all they can see is luck and chance and, well, that was luck here. Wow, you know. They give the credit to science or they give the credit to, you know, to luck and to chance more than anything else. Well, that was lucky. No, that wasn't lucky. That was an intervention of God, preserving you, delivering you from all the things that could have been had he not intervened. And so I call these quiet miracles because God leaves room in these miracles for both faith and unbelief. Have you noticed that? When God works, he leaves room for both faith and for unbelief. He leaves just enough room where somebody can say, well, you know, that just happened. You know, on the other hand, he makes it obvious enough that the child of God has no problem seeing that, no, that was an intervention of God. That was an intervention of God. That was God coming down and blessing. That was God coming down and delivering. That was God doing the work. And we get to see that. And we get blessed by recognizing God in the things that he's doing around us. But he leaves room for faith and unbelief. And some can only see luck and chance. But God's people can see the hand of God and can see him. You know, I think about that and some of these thoughts. And I don't want to, you know, I try to... Sometimes it's hard to try to keep yourself out of the thought, but sometimes it's, you know, to add just a little bit of, you know, the things you've experienced. But, you know, the things we went through with Wyatt, obviously. I mean, to us, absolutely no doubt that God worked in a miraculous way in his life. I mean, but you have the medical professionals, and all they can see is the science. And then you have lost people all around, and all they can see is luck. You know, and but there you are, and you can see it plain as day that this is a working of God, that this is God coming into our lives and working in a miraculous way, And you know, and I even remember when I was still lost. You see, I can see both perspectives because I remember being lost, and I don't know if you know before I was saved, my wife was witnessing to me and. You know, I was under conviction that if I died, I'd go to hell, you know, but I wasn't to that place of being brought to repentance, just afraid to die, you know. And I was involved in the construction, it's certainly not an accident. It was a construction mishap, if you will, where there was a dynamite blast and I was hit with a rock upside the head. And I remember, you know, talking with my grandmother. I can't remember just what I said, but she recognized that was God preserving you. You know, I recognized that I shouldn't be alive. You know, I laid in the hospital that night, and that was the day that the Lord got my attention, hit me upside the head with a big rock, and said, "Are you listening now?" You know, and so I laid there that night and thought, you know, if I had died, I would go to hell because my wife had been witnessing to me. At that time, I didn't really give the credit to God, but my grandmother pointed out the fact that God was watching over you. You know, that was God. That didn't just happen. You're not just alive just by luck, but it was God who had intervened in that way. And so, that is the blessing of being a child of God, is we get to see, we get to really see that didn't just happen. That was God. That was Jesus revealing and working and blessing in our lives. But many things that Jesus has done, is doing, and will do will go quietly unnoticed by the world. And that's the way it pleases him to do so. But the many things that Jesus has quietly done in our lives, we should be careful to remember to give thanks and to give God the glory. That's the Lord's privilege. That's the Lord. That is the Lord's honor to just quietly perform those things. But it is our responsibility to declare those things and to give God the glory and say that wasn't just an accident. That wasn't just luck or chance. That didn't just happen. That wasn't just the will of man and the power of science or whatever. That was an intervention of God. And we give God the praise, the thanks, the glory. We recognize him in what he does. Oh, how we need to give voice to the quiet miracles. We need to speak and say, no, that was God, and give him the glory. So that's what that we need to do. But what God quietly does for us, we should declare publicly to the world. Right. We consider at the end of John, as we look at that verse there, we'll read that one more time. John 21 there, and verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. But each gospel is a God-inspired account of one person. One person writing down the things that they understood, the things that they experienced concerning Christ, and the things that they understood or saw in the lives of others that Jesus did. And they wrote it down. What if we all wrote down, all the things that Jesus did? The books that would just that would fill the world. But whether we write them down or not, we need to remember them, and we need to be thankful for them, and we need to give voice to them, and we need to declare the glory of God in those things, and that others might be privileged to see Jesus, but that God receive the glory. That's what we need to do, is make certain that we give God the glory. But every day, Jesus is quietly working miracles all around us. When we're so blessed of God to see them, we ought to be careful to point them out to others so that God receive the glory and they might be privileged to see Jesus working miracles in their lives as well. But we'll stop with that and turn to service to Brother Randy. Amen.